playing
6'3", 320 at the center.
Yeah, I mean, he can. You want to talk about a team that wants to line up and mow people down? Like he's your dude.
Transition to the interior offensive line, who we'll spend a little bit less time on because they are both not as good prospects top to bottom, but also the Titans are in less of a need for them. So a little peek behind the curtain if you're with us live. This is the start of a second episode. So let's intro this real quick. Welcome into the Hot Read Podcast on a Masters Monday, the second of two topics in our live show, the top 10 interior offensive linemen of the 2024 NFL Draft. We have Stoney Keeley here from the Sub Rose Network joining us, and we are talking through some big, meaty men. Stoney, the tackle class is amazing, but maybe it's glorious opulence is keeping us from recognizing there are some really fantastic interior linemen in this draft class.
Yeah, particularly the centers. I think this center class is loaded with day three guys that have athletic traits that project well to the NFL. I think it's a great year to need a value center. It was something that I had kind of circled for the Titans before they had signed Lloyd Cushenberry. Like, this is a need that they can kind of wait on in the draft and still pick up a guy that's going to get some quality snaps. I like the guards as well, but particularly, man, these centers are going to play on Sundays.
I think you're right, and we're going to talk through a handful of them in our top 10 lists. Let's go ahead and consult that list here, and I've not compared these guys. So, okay, so we've got the same guy at number 10, and it looks like essentially the same. I think we had the same top 10 guys, so that's good. That makes our job easy here. Let's start with the 10th guy on our list here in Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State University, not San Diego State University. This is a guy who is going to be playing the guard position at the next level. He's your number 10 player on the interior. Stoney, what do people need to know? What's one big thing about Mason McCormick that makes him a good prospect in this draft class?
He's a thick, girthy guy that plays like a bullet, man. He gets into space and he just looks to blow through somebody. I don't think he's the quickest guy, but man, he is a heavy hitter.
Okay, fair enough. These last couple guys, because like for reference, Mason McCormick coming in at 142 on the consensus board, he's going to be a day three guy. A couple of these guys here at the bottom are going to be day three. So let's focus on the big picture with some of these guys. And at number nine, Bo Limmer out of Arkansas. I've heard you talk about before. He's going to play center at the next level, correct? Or maybe not.
That's what big draft media seems to think, that he's going to play center. I would pound the table to play him at guard. I would be stoked if the Titans were to draft him and slide him over to right guard. I would be happy with that. Watched his Alabama tape from 2022. This kid got some wins over Will Anderson. I don't know if you guys have heard of Will Anderson, but he's a pretty good football player. So I value that.
Fair enough. So like, I don't know. It's a thought that I'm gonna save it for a little bit later because I think it's a good one, and it pertains more to some of these top guys. So let's keep trucking here. So that's Bo Limmer out of Arkansas. We've got Mason McCormick out of San Diego State University at number 10 for me, at number 9, and then on your board at 10 and at 8. At number 9 on your board is Delmar Glaze, a great name for a player out of Maryland. What do people need to know about Delmar?
He's a big, thick guy. He's a thumper. He's got really strong hands, can really punch a shoulder out. He played tackle. He has experience at left tackle and right tackle at Maryland. But, man, you start to see him against some of these quick, twitchy speed rushers, and you really notice how limited his athletic range is out there on the edge. That's why I think a lot of folks think he's going to kick into guard, where he should find some success in the NFL. He's got a mean streak to go with it. He's a guy that likes to pick you up and throw you in the dirt.
Fair enough. I just noticed I was wrong. We actually do have two guys not in common. So let's go to the guy that's number 7 on your board, Christian Mahogany out of Boston College. He comes in on the consensus board at number 94. So we're into the top 100 guys here. He's your 7th interior player, a guard, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think many folks have heard of Christian Mahogany's name thrown around in this draft cycle. Maybe why is that, and why should he be involved in the conversation?
Yeah, I don't think he's been like a top level prospect. I mean, he got some eyeballs on him at the Shrine Bowl. I remember when he was announced as accepting his invite, there were some people that had kind of already been grinding his tape that were like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be a riser throughout this process. And that was the thing that kind of signaled to me, hey, I got to go find some Boston College offensive all 22 to watch this guy. But he's a big, thick guy. He plays with violence the same way we talked about on yesterday's episode with Talisi Fuanga. He's got that mean streak in him as a run blocker. He's just going to mow you down. I watched his tape against Virginia, and there was one play that I sat and watched it a couple of times. Like, I think he just hit two different guys three different times on this play, like literally just
play
going back and forth, just hitting these guys. I'm like, why do y'all keep getting up? Just stay down at a certain point. There was a play where like they snapped the ball and he effectively just picked the defensive lineman up and drove him back out of the play. It was really, really something to watch. And, you know, I think for the right offense, somebody that needs a road grader at right guard, I think he's quite the candidate to fill that role.
So that's Christian Mahogany at I keep saying BC, and for some reason British Columbia is what comes to my head. No, Boston College. Dominic Pooney is a guy out of Kansas who I've heard you talk about before, Stoney.
Mm-hmm.
And unless is he higher on your list, or is he not on your top 10 list here?
No, he's higher on my list. Okay, so he's actually higher. Okay. I think I'm higher on him. Higher on him than the consensus, more so than any other player. I think he's a fringe first rounder.
Wow.
In my opinion, I think he has some real versatility to his game. I think I understand the concerns, the limitations with the tape, but I would say this Kansas offense, to dumb it down as much as I can, it feels like they're five different offenses blended into one. It's really hard. They run the ball a lot. There's a lot of option stuff, and they're like formations where they've got like two linemen in front of the quarterback, and then everybody else is lined up past the numbers, and it makes it really hard to get a read on what Pooney is as a prospect. But he's also never allowed a sack in his entire career. He's got great length. Wow. He's got a really feisty style to him. He looks to hit somebody. I think the thinking was that he was going to slide into guard, where you know, I kind of thought, yeah, I can see it with the power, the tenacity, experience in a run heavy scheme. Checks those boxes. That's fine. No issue with that. But then when he got to the Senior Bowl, they moved this kid into center and had him snapping the ball, really clean snaps. I thought he was really effective in tracking movement from stunts, guys trying to cross over, getting his hands up, really good footwork. And I kind of thought, the more I heard people talk about it, I'm like, yeah, this guy's future might be at center in this draft class. And that you kind of broaden your scope a little bit. And it's like, okay, experience at tackle, looks like he could play guard, really looks like he could play center. This is a guy that has versatility like few other offensive linemen have in this class. And, you know, you have to do a little bit of projecting, because like I said, I feel like that Kansas tape is kind of hard to make sense of at times. But I think just looking at the traits and the experience alone, I think he's one of the best. I've got him. He's three or four on my list.
Wow. Okay. So we'll see him on your list in a minute. He's a guy that you think could be a fringe first round, second round player.
Based on my evaluation, sure, I don't think sure. NFL people are saying that.
Okay, if he fall the way that he's expected to, he becomes an interesting potential option for the Titans, just because his former coach, his college coach, Scott Fuchs, the Titans assist, I believe his title is assistant offensive line coach, but mm-hmm. he is part of the dynamic duo for the Titans offensive line brain trust that has like 134 years of coaching combined. He knows Dominic Pooney really, really well. And so, you know, I don't know whether or not the Titans are considering him or not, but if they were to, you'd have confidence, you know, they made a good choice because they know this guy better than most teams do.
I'll be doing cartwheels if he ends up with the Titans.
Okay. Fair enough. Another player that I have on my list, but maybe not on yours. Maybe he's higher and I'm still missing him here. Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia. I'd imagine he's probably not on your list. He's number eight on mine. Center out of Georgia, high IQ player. First guy on this list really so far that I feel like I can speak some to, because he's, the full disclosure, the first guy on this list that I've actually put a significant amount of time into. I leave the lineman evaluation to the pros like Stoney for the most part and focus on the top guys. Cedric Van Pran is, I think JT referred to him as the quintessential PFF mock draft player of the year earlier, because he just was consistently a guy that you would see in PFF mock drafts and then not really hear a whole lot else about. I think that he's somebody that could project well to a handful of different schemes. He's got the IQ that you're looking for in a center and just had a solid college experience. Again, not a whole lot of flash, but like above average in pretty much every element of his game. And so that's why I have him at number eight.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just reading over my my report on him, and I mentioned something about, like, why is he lunging so much? And I mentioned that on yesterday's show with Amarius Mims. Maybe it is a coaching thing at Georgia where they're just like, hey, if you don't know what to do, just duck your head and lunge forward. I don't know. I think he's kind of built funny to me. And this is one of those weird Edgerrin Cooper's legs are too long kind of thing for me.
Right.
Like, the way he springs out of his stance, I feel like his pads are too high. I felt like he got knocked off balance a little bit on the tape, but all in all, like, pretty clean player, pretty clean snaps, like not a lot of issues getting the ball out, and a really powerful guy, really strong hitter. I got no issue with him. Actually, if I'm combining my list, like I told you, I've got him separated into guards and centers on mine, but mm-hmm. I think he's probably number 11 for me.
Okay. So just off of your list. Fair
just,
enough.
Just off of my list. Yeah.
Let's keep trucking to get these top guys in here. Number six for both of us is Cooper Beeb. I believe I'm saying that correctly, out of Kansas State, who I think would be higher on these lists if he didn't quite have the athletic limitations that he presents.
Sure.
Very fast player, 93rd percentile 40-yard dash. However, not the strongest athlete on tape, and he's lacking in the length. That's what keeps him as an interior player. But I think he's pretty bright. He's got high IQ from what I've read. What makes him number six on your board?
Man, you basically read my scouting report for me. The only thing I would add is that he's got a really wide base, and I think it makes him a pretty sturdy, strong prospect. And I think that gets to the crux of why I think he's got a high floor at the next level. He's just across the board, he's a safe prospect, man. Like he's somebody that we talk about offensive linemen kind of needing some time to catch on when they get to the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be the case with him. I don't think he's going to be out, you know, blowing anybody away or anything like that. But I think his tape shows a pretty high safe floor. So you could draft this guy in the second round and trust that you've got your left guard spot locked down.
And Beeb on the consensus board comes in at, I'm having a hard time saying consensus board. It's just got to slow it down.
We've said it a lot.
I know it's becoming, you know, when you say a word over and over and over and it loses its meaning, that's where we're at this point. On the consensus board, Beeb is at 64 overall. So we're firmly into the second day, second round territory as we talk about these next couple guys. JT, let's throw up the top five lists here. And at number five is where you have Dominic Pooney, who you're a little bit higher on. Let's do Christian Haynes out of UConn. He's your third line interior offensive lineman. My number five player, going to play the guard position at the next level. What did you like enough about Haynes to have him at number three?
Oh, man, I think he is. He's just a ton of fun to watch, man. A pot-bellied behemoth is what I call him. He just wants to maul people.
The ability for Stoney to continue to make different acronyms for thick men is something that needs to truly be studied.
My favorite of his of all time was last year where he said he's got a little bit of a fee-fi-foe bum to him. Which is a great draft jargon. Yeah.
Yeah. I've used that a few times this draft cycle.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Really good with his hands. He kind of knows, he has a good sense of when a situation calls for him just completely decleating a guy and when he needs to, you know, get his hands on a guy and wrestle him. Seeks out content at the second level, vice grips for hands. There's an immovable quality to him. And you just sink his hips, plant his feet, establish his base. Good get off, walking reminder of quote low man wins. I don't have a problem if anybody wants to take Christian Haynes in the first round.
Fair enough.
I really enjoyed. He was one of my favorite prospects to see at the Senior Bowl. I think out of the offensive line groups, he was one that really stood out to me with the Patrick Pauls and someone else we're going to talk about on this list, Jackson Powers Johnson, who I think is a really interesting conversation this draft cycle. Christian Haynes, I think, is a guy who continues to rise. And man, he's I think he can be an impact starter from day one.
Yeah. Also worthy of note is that he frustrated Jordan Jefferson to the point that he took off his helmet and swung it at Christian Haynes. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if this was officially reported anywhere, but the word on the street was that Haynes looked at him and said, "If you're scared, go to church." And that is hard as hell.
That is hard as hell. It really, I mean, that's a bar. I like that. I like that exactly. A lot. Okay, before we get to, you know, actually let's do Zach Frazier, who's number four on my board, number four on yours, interior player out of West Virginia University. Stoney, what did you like about Frazier when you watched him on tape? He comes in on the consensus board at number 45 overall.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about, pardon my French, pardon my language here, but an ass kicker, like that's Zach Frazier. If not for the injury concerns, I think Frazier would be pushing Jackson Powers Johnson for the number one center spot on my list. I just love, there's something about his mentality and the way that he plays. If you haven't watched the Penn State tape, I highly recommend it. It's some of my favorite tape I've watched this cycle. The confidence that West Virginia could just line up on fourth and one, run it up the middle, and they knew they were going to convert whenever they needed to. Just running behind their center, Zach Frazier, is just uncanny. And they're down like 40-20 or something in the fourth quarter of this game, and Zach Frazier is still out there playing his guts out. I mean, the guy is a grinder. He is a fighter. He's got a wrestling background that shows up in pass protection when he can get his hands on a guy. I think he's a really complete prospect. The injuries are a concern, but for him to get back and do the drills at the scouting combine as quickly as he did is pretty impressive as well. I love to watch him play. If you're a team that runs the ball quite a bit and wants to be a statement running team, I think he's your center.
4-time state wrestling champion in high school, so he's got crazy core strength. Despite the lacking length, he's just going to win in a mud fight in the middle of the line. So I agree entirely. That's why I have him at number four on my board as well.
My favorite part of doing different mock drafts like this to what you said, Stoney, is mocking the Eagles trading up into the first part of the second round to take Zach Frazier just so that they can annoy people with the tush push for another 10 years.
I think
you can't tell me Howie Roseman isn't looking at that and like Jalen Hurts is pounding the table being like, I need another 15 rushing touchdowns on the one. Yeah, I need this guy in front of me now. I think that would be a very interesting one. But like you said, I think he possesses a lot of power, and I think that's one of his best parts of his game.
Before we get to the top two guys, can we reiterate just a little bit, Stoney, on Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, who played tackle at the college level, depending on who you ask, is a guard or a tackle prospect in this process. I think we both agree he's likely to be a guard at the next level. Just depends on where he is drafted and where he fits in on a team. But man, if you get past the part that, oh man, he was a tackle in college, we were excited for him to be a tackle prospect, he's probably just not going to play tackle at the NFL level. Still a really fantastic interior offensive lineman. He's number three on my board. I'm not quite sure where you'd have him slotted in because you had him on your tackle list. But if you had to put him on your guard center list here, the interior, where would he fit for you?
He would probably be sixth, ahead of Cooper Beebe, okay, or BB, whichever it is. I like whatever saying BB because it's more fun.
Sure.
But I think he would probably be there at six, just behind Pooney, because of, you know, the balance still counts for something. The hand usage still counts for something if you're kicking inside to guard. And then you don't have with Morgan, one of my big concerns with him is his ability to kind of overset at the edge and allow guys to rush inside. And you don't have to worry about that if you're not playing out in space. So I think it probably does give him a higher floor and maybe a higher ceiling as well to kick inside. I just think somebody's going to give him a chance at tackle. And that's why I didn't put him on this list. But if I did, he'd be there just outside the top five.
Okay, fair enough. And if you want to hear more on him, we talked a little bit about him in the top 10 tackles episode, which as we're here live, we did it a couple of minutes ago. But on the podcast feed, it was the last thing or two things. It was recently. Go find the top 10 tackles episode if you want to hear more on Jordan Morgan. Okay, our top two guys here, we are in lockstep. Number two is Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, and then Graham Barton out of Duke. Let's start with Jackson Powers Johnson, who is built like SpongeBob. He's the most square frame, like just he's built. He's built different in the most wonderful, delicious way. for an interior offensive lineman. We loved everything about him from what we saw at the Senior Bowl. He won every day that he participated. What is there to love about JPJ, Stoney? And talk me through maybe some of the downsides, the reasons why, to let folks in on like the zeitgeist with draft media. It seems like he's fallen down boards, and I don't really know why.
Yeah, I don't know myself. I don't know what information would have come to light that would have his stock plummeted.
Could be medicals that we'll never know, but right.
Yeah, but if you just stick to the tape and you stick to like what we saw at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile.
He's a first rounder.
He's a first rounder, really yes. Clean prospect, effective hand usage. You don't see too many centers that are built like him that can move like him. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a big dude we're talking about that's playing
6'3", 320 at center.
Yeah. I mean, he can, you want to talk about a team that wants to line up and mow people down. Like he's your dude. I think he's a very, very technically sound center. The only thing I can conceive of, I mean, they kicked him out to guard at some down in Mobile to see how he would play there. And I thought it kind of exposed maybe some of his lateral quickness. Like he did kind of feel a little stiff. Like that's where you see a dude who's built like a barrel is when you put him out there and try to get him against some of the twitchier pass rushers and interior hybrid defensive lineman types. I wasn't as confident in him at guard as some of the other draft media were that were just saying, oh, you can start him wherever you need to start him on the offensive line. I didn't necessarily see that. I don't know if this is a case where, hey, maybe the NFL sees something like that too, and it's been this way this whole time, and maybe draft media just got super hyped up off of that Senior Bowl, and we inflated his stock to an unrealistic place. I don't know, but it's my best guess.
Fair enough.
I think there's a really interesting conversation because, like you said, between like there are situations like with a Jermaine Burton where you're hearing that the vibes are just off, and why. You see his stock falling. And then you have cases like Jackson Powers Johnson, where it kind of feels like maybe the opposite, that teams are being quiet intentionally because they want you to kind of seemingly forget about this guy. And I think that's the great experiment of the NFL draft, that in 12 or 13 days, we're going to finally see, and then we'll get our answer and be like, we'll truly know, like, is there something more to this, or is it simply this guy is really good? Let's not talk about him so that we can get him.
He's so good. I don't see how he can't be a first round pick.
I think I'm with you.
It has to be medical.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially. Yeah. I think there might be something to that. But like you said, it's just, once again, something that we just don't have access to.
All right. And that leaves us with our number one player, a Brentwood, Tennessee legend, Graham Barton out of Duke. Went to Ravenwood if you're from the area, the Middle Tennessee area. So he could technically be a local visit for the Titans if they wanted to make him that. He is the number one interior offensive lineman on both Stoney and I's board for good reason. 6'5", 311 pounds, played a good bit. He played exclusively at tackle in college, correct? Or am I making that up?
He played tackle and guard.
Okay, so he did play some guard.
Yeah. I know, but everybody projects him as a center in the NFL, right. But I think that's all projection based. I think he actually played guard when he kicked inside
that real quick. But regardless, well, let me see. No, so yeah, just no, he played left tackle all through college.
Oh, did he?
All through. So a ton of experience at the tackle position, but it's that length that's going to keep him as an interior player at the NFL level. I'm going to pull up his length here in just a second.
And for the record, sure. I said it about Jordan Morgan. I said it about Peter Skoronski. If you want to give Graham Barton a shot at tackle, be my guest.
Well, he's got 32 7/8 inch arms, which I believe I think that's the exact same as Peter Skoronski. I could be wrong. Yeah. So kind of same deal. And he's certainly a strong enough athlete to tempt a team to try that. But wherever he's playing on the offensive line, whether it's inside or outside, he's a menace. He's a fantastic player, was really great at Duke, came into this draft cycle as one of the number one talked about offensive linemen just in general, interior or exterior. And I feel like he's been drowned out a little bit unfairly because I think he's I would say he's a lock first rounder, barring some medical issues. And I think some team's going to get a fantastic lineman wherever he lines up.
Yeah, I don't know where you put him, and that's why I have difficulty projecting where he's going to go as far as like draft stock goes. But watching the tape, he's one of my favorite players in this draft because he's just electric to watch. I mean, this guy gets out in space. He moves well, but he's also a wrecking ball. Like, he just looks for somebody to completely obliterate. And he I saw Jake mention the titty twisters for Christian Haynes, but to me, Graham Barton is the king of the titty twisters in this class. The way he okay. just he gets it, that's what it looked like to me, the way he just get his hands inside and lift a dude up, and it's just like, man, that's got to be, he's clamping down right
titty
there.
Titty twisters are a Graham Barton stat.
That's got to hurt.
That's analytics right there. Yeah.
That's got to hurt something.
Sure.
Really, really fun to watch. A really clean prospect in his own right. I just, you know, like I said, I just wonder what you do with him.
That's fair. I think teams are going to keep it simple and start him in on the interior. I don't know. Like, the more you look at his profile, the more you could convince yourself, depending on what you need, really, with any situation. But I think if he's going to be the first rounder that I expect him to be, it's going to be a team looking to get one of the top on their board interior offensive lineman guys, plug him in at center or at guard, put him on, you know, like Dallas Cowboys, something like that, could be a really fantastic add.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think he's also a guy that you could probably just get into camp and figure out your best five and where he fits in that too.
Right. Just draft the talent and say, we're, you know, not knowing where we're going to play him is maybe a good problem to have, because we just know he's good at football and we'll figure it out.
For sure.
All right. That's our top 10 lists, fellas. We got through both the top 10 tackles and the top 10 interior offensive linemen in a cool hour 45. Not bad. Honestly, better than I thought we were going to do. So we appreciate
better than last year.
Last year, Stoney, it was just you and you and I, and we did north of 3 hours for both.
That's okay. So, that's what I was thinking.
It's the producer JT effect right here.
Yeah, yeah. The timekeeper kept us honest. Every 10 seconds, he was texting me, stop, shut up, move on. Not really, but I could feel it. I feel the energy. And so I appreciate you keeping us.
It's like, it's here. Like, you know, like the mom stare, you know, when at your kid, just like looking
with,
at him.
You're with company. You're with company and you're acting up, and mom gives you that look that you're going to get you're going to get whooped on later, and you better stop right now or it's just going to get worse. Yeah. 100%.
I was trying to keep it concise, but sometimes my passion just kind of sinks through on these things.
And you know what? That's why we love having you on here, Stoney. You are the reason why we can do these offensive line episodes and not sound like morons, because it is a different evaluating NFL players as a whole outside of linemen. Is like, it feels like different sports doing the two things. It's difficult. And a guy like you who really knows what he's talking about is a huge credit to our show. So we appreciate you being willing to do it. Tell the people where they need to find you. Obviously you're on F Words now, all the time on Tuesdays. So check Wednesday. It out here on the four Wednesdays. Bad job on my part. On Wednesdays, you're trying to do 1 o'clock, right?
Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. Yep. Okay. Wherever you take in your 440 sports or your Broadway sports.
Yeah. And then the Sobros Network, smelling candles, reviewing movies, getting outside, doing everything. I mean, like, it's the most, it is the most eclectic collection of media in the city. And it's a it's a good thing. It's wonderful. It's delightful.
Thank you. It's been lacking a little bit lately because I've been working so hard to try and get this draft guide wrapped up, but I promise we'll get back to all the restaurant reviews and people fighting at malls and stuff like that.
Well, the three of us were talking earlier today. We're going to go up to that. There's a wonderfully picturesque Chili's in Canada somewhere that we're going to find. Exactly. It's like a ski lodge, and we're going to do a show live from there and get rum buckets and pass out in Canada and Canadian Chili's, I guess. That's
living the dream.
We'll celebrate the end of draft season by doing that. So we'll
there we go.
We'll make some content out of that. Stoney, thank you for being here. For everybody that anytime tuned in with us live and wrote it out the whole hour 45, kudos to you, man. We need to get you a t-shirt or a button or something. You guys rock. We appreciate you supporting the show because you guys are the reason we do this. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, a lot more content coming to you from the Hot Read podcast side of things. Tomorrow, Monday the 15th, we'll be live again. JT and I are talking through all of the multiversal options the Titans have at the number one, or in round one at the number 7 pick overall. We're going to talk through our rankings of what could happen, and based on what does happen, what might happen after that. We'll talk through all of those possibilities tomorrow, rank them, have a good time. It's all based on the survey that I did on Twitter that hundreds of you voted on. So if you voted, come and hear about how those results turned out. They really are fascinating. And then on Tuesday, JT and I will be talking through running backs and safeties. And then on Thursday, we'll be back again, another double episode talking through edges and cornerbacks. And then next week is draft week, and we'll have content for you like every single day. It'll be a good time. So tune in to all of our content and all of the 440 Podcast Network and all of the Broadway Sports Media Podcast Network content for the next couple of days as we near the draft just 1 week from Thursday. Until then, for producer JT, I'm your host, Easton Freeze, and for our guest, Tony Keeley, we appreciate you listening. This has been the Hot Read Podcast, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.